Great, Clive. I told you it would come. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just going up to Jessie.
The phone on the desk starts ringing, and Clive holds his finger up in a signal for me to excuse him for a second.
Mr. Holland?
Yes, sir, of course, sir.
He hangs up, scribbling a few notes on his pad.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll make my way up.
Ava, Mr. Ward hasn't notified me of your visit.
He scans his screen, and I gape at him.
Is he having me on?
He's seen Jessie carry me in and out of this place on numerous occasions.
What's he playing at?
I smile sweetly.
How are you finding the job, Clive?
He immediately becomes willing and animated.
Well, I'm basically a personal assistant to 13 filthy rich residents, but I love it. You should hear some of the requests I get. Yesterday, Mr. Daniels asked me to organize a chopper ride over the city for his daughter and three friends, and...
He leans over the counter, lowering his voice.
Mr. Gomez, up on Fifth, has a different woman every day of the week, and Mr. Holland seems to have a thing for the Thai birds. But keep that to yourself. It's all confidential.
He winks.
Wow, it sounds very interesting. I'm glad you're enjoying it, Clive.
I broaden my smile at him.
Do you mind if I head up?
I need to call first, Ava.
Call then.
I huff impatiently, standing and shifting irritably while Clive rings up to the penthouse. He hangs up and dials again.
I'm sure I saw him pass through, he mutters on a frown. Maybe I didn't.
His car's outside. He must be here, I push frantically. Try again.
I point to the telephone and Clive presses a few buttons again as I look on. He hangs up again, shaking his head.
No, he's definitely not there. And he hasn't put a D&D on his system, so he's not asleep or busy. He must have gone out.
I frown. D&D?
Do not disturb.
Oh, Clive, I know he's home. Please, can I go up?
I plead. I can't believe he's being so difficult. He leans over his desk, narrows his eyes on me, and looks to either side, checking the coast is clear.
I can get in serious trouble for not following protocol, but as it's you, Ava,
he winks.
Go on.
He thumbs over his shoulder and straightens his green hat.
Thanks, Clive.
I jump in the elevator, punch in the code, praying he hasn't gotten around to reprogramming it in the short time I've been gone, and let out a relieved breath of air when the doors close and I start my journey to the penthouse. He's got to answer the door yet. I don't have a key. My stomach does a few 360s as the elevator door slides open and I'm faced with the double doors into Jessie's apartment. But I frown to myself when I see the door is already open and there's music, very loud music. I walk to the door, gently push it open, and my ears are bombarded from every direction by Angel. The words hit me like a thunderbolt, immediately putting me on guard. Right now, it sounds so loud and depressing, not soft and ardent like it was when we made love. I need to turn it down, or off. It's so affecting. And with it coming from all of the integrated speakers, there's no escaping it. Maybe he's not here. Maybe the system has malfunctioned because he couldn't possibly sustain this noise level for long. I clamp my hands over my ears as I glance around the huge space, trying to locate a remote control before running into the kitchen, where I spot one on the island. I quickly find the volume button to turn the music down. A lot. Once I've taken care of the noise levels, I go in search of him. As I reach the stairs, I kick something and watch as it clatters across the floor, but quickly pick up the bottle and place it on the console unit at the bottom of the stairs before taking them two at a time. I go straight to the master suite, but he's not in there. so I proceed to frantically search every other room on the floor. He's in none of them. I get halfway down the stairs, stopping abruptly, when my eyes land on the empty bottle that I scooped up. It's vodka, or it was. It's been drained dry. A wave of uneasiness rolls over me as a million thoughts invade my head. I've never seen Jesse drink, not ever. Every time alcohol has been on offer, he's refused, ordering water instead. It never occurred to me to wonder why. But now, thinking about how carelessly the empty bottle was tossed on the floor, I realize something isn't right. His insistence on me not drinking on Friday comes rushing back into my mind like a tidal wave, and the time in the blue bar, when he was so keen to feed me water, suddenly doesn't seem so unusual or unreasonable. I hear a crash, and my eyes snap from the empty bottle of vodka to the outside terrace. "Oh, please, no," I whisper to myself. The huge glass doors are open. I sprint the rest of the way down the stairs, across the living space, skidding to a halt at the doors, when I see Jesse struggling to get himself up from one of the sun loungers. Have I had my eyes closed for the past few weeks? I've missed so much. He has a towel wrapped around his waist and a bottle of vodka in his hand, which he's keeping a tight hold of as he fights to push himself up on his free arm. He's swearing profusely. I'm frozen on the spot as I watch this man I've fallen in love with, a physically powerful, passionate, and captivating man, reduced to a drunken wreck. How did this slip past me? I've not even wrapped my head around all of the other shit that's been landed on me today, and now this on top of everything else. Once he's hauled himself up, he turns to face me. His eyes are hollow, his face washed out. It doesn't look like him.
"You're too late, lady,"
he slurs viciously, glaring at me. He's never looked at me like this before. He's never spoken to me like this before, not even when he's been crazy mad with me. "You're drunk," I blurt, knowing it's a stupid thing to say, but all other words have run screaming loudly from my brain. My eyes have been tortured way past repair today.
"That's very observant of you."
He lifts the bottle and swigs the rest of the vodka before wiping his mouth with the back of his hand.
"Not drunk enough, though."
He walks forward purposely, and I instinctively move out of his way, knowing he would cause me damage if he crashed into me. "Where are you going?" I ask as he passes me.
"What's it to you?"
he spits, without so much as looking at me. I follow him into the kitchen, watching as he drags another bottle of vodka from the freezer and tosses his empty into the sink. He starts unscrewing the cap.
"Bastard,"
he hisses, shaking his hand, and it's then I notice the mass of swelling and cuts marring it. He perseveres with a screw cap, eventually removing it before knocking back a huge swig. "Jesse, your hand needs looking at." He throws his hand up in front of him, taking another mouthful from the bottle.
"Look then, yet more damage you've caused,"
he snarls.
"I've caused?" "Yeah, you can stand there. Stand there looking all bewildered and confused. I fucking told you," he shouts. "Didn't I warn you? I warned you!"
He's hysterical. "Warned me about what?" I ask quietly, while trying to mentally calculate how much he's had. This is the third bottle I've seen. Can anyone drink that much?
"Fucking typical,"
he shouts at the ceiling. "I didn't know," I whisper. He laughs.
"You didn't know?"
He points the bottle at me.
I said you would cause more damage if you left me, but you still left anyway. Now look at the fucking state of me.
I flinch at his words. I feel like crying, but shock is controlling the tears. This is not the Jesse I know. This man is a stranger, a hurtful, cruel, and merciless man who I don't love at all. I don't need this man. He starts pacing toward me and I back away. I don't want to be anywhere near him.
That's it. Run away.
He continues stalking forward, gaining on me with every step.
You're a fucking prick tease, Ava. I can have you, then I can't, then I can again. Make your fucking mind up.
Why didn't you tell me you're an alcoholic? I ask as my back hits the wall. There's no more retreating space. Why didn't you tell me everything?
And give you another reason not to want me, he spits.
He then seems to consider something.
I'm not an alcoholic.
He's on top of me, looking down at me. This close up, his eyes are even more hollow and dark. You need help, I say on a cracking voice. I'm going to need help too.
I needed you, and you left me.
His breath is hot, but it's not his usual minty smell. All I can smell are alcohol fumes, so whoever claims you can't smell vodka is lying. I plant my palms on his bare chest to push him away, applying only a little pressure for fear I might push him over. It's laughable, this tall, lean, strapping man, but he's so unstable on his feet. His chest feels like him. That I recognize, but it's the only part of him that I do at the moment. He takes a step back, tipping the bottle to his lips again. I want to grab it and smash it on the floor.
Sorry, am I invading your space? He laughs. It's never bothered you before.
You weren't drunk before, I retort.
No, I wasn't. I was too busy fucking you to think about having a drink.
He looks at me with disgust, leaning forward.
I was too busy fucking you to think about anything. And you loved it.
He smirks.
You were good. In fact, you were the best I've had. And I've had a lot.
Rage flies through me like a rocket. So fast, I don't even notice that my hand has flown out and slapped him clean across his face, not until the sting sets in and it starts throbbing. He holds his face to the side, where my vicious hand has put it, before slowly turning it back to me. He laughs mildly.
Fun, wasn't it?
I look at him in complete contempt, shaking my head. I feel like I'm being dragged through a madcap movie. This sort of shit just doesn't happen, especially not to me. Sex houses, crazy madness, and alcoholic assholes. How did I get caught up in all of this freakiness? You're one fucked up sorry state.
Watch your mouth, he slurs.
You don't get to tell me what I can say, I shout. You don't get to tell me how to do anything anymore.
I'm a fucked up sorry state. And it's all because of you.
He punctuates each and every word on a slur, jabbing his finger in my face. I fear I might actually punch him in his drunken face if I don't leave now. But all of my stuff is here, and I need to get it. I don't want to ever come back. I brush past him, hurrying for the stairs. With any luck, he's too drunk to climb them,
and I can snatch my things up without any further vicious exchanges. I take the stairs fast, barreling into the bedroom, and standing for a few moments wondering where he would have put my bag. Finding my overnight case tucked neatly behind some shoeboxes in the wardrobe, I yank it free, pulling down my clothes from the hangers and scooping up my things from the floor at the same time. I rush back into the bedroom, finding Jesse standing in the doorway. It's taken him a lot longer than usual, but he's made it up the stairs. I ignore him and run into the bathroom, all but flinging my toiletries into my bag.
Does this bring back memories, Ava?
I look up, finding him stroking the top of the vanity unit, his face straight as he caresses the marble counter. I try to blank out our launch night encounter. In this very suite was where I finally surrendered to this man. In this bathroom was where we made love for the first time. No, we fucked for the first time. And now it all ends here, too. He's blocking my path with his tall, swaying body, and I notice the bottle of vodka has been abandoned, his towel working its way loose. I try to sidestep him, but he moves with me, hampering my attempts to pass.
You're really going, he slurs softly.
You think I would stay? I ask, exasperated. I'd thought I could overcome the manner and all the crap that accompanies it. But this, on top of all that, has just catapulted my already crumbled world into complete obliteration. No amount of love or feelings could ever fix this mess. He's led me on a merry dance. He's purposely deceived me and manipulated me.
So that's it. You've turned my life upside down, caused all this damage, and now you're leaving without fixing it.
I look up at him in shock. Does he think that he's the only one affected by all of this? I've turned his world upside down? Even inebriated, the man is delusional. Goodbye, Jesse. I push past him, heading straight for the stairs, fighting the urge to look back. The devastating man I fell in love with, the man who I thought would be engraved on my mind's eye for the rest of my life, has been cruelly replaced by that nasty, drunken creature.
I wanted to tell you, but you had to be your usual difficult self, he roars at my back. How can you walk away?
I flinch at his harshness, but keep going.
Ava, baby, please.
Halfway down the stairs, I hear a loud clatter and a collection of bangs and crashes. This just makes me run faster. Any dream of falling into his strong, loving arms has been sensationally dashed. My happy ever after with my lovable rogue has been chewed up and spat out. I could have tumbled into a relationship with Jesse without a clue about his dark secrets. When would I have eventually found out? I should be thankful. At least I know now before it's too late. Before it's too late? It's way past too late. I approach Kate's door in a numb haze, and it swings open before I have a chance to put my key in the lock. What's happened? She asks, her eyes wide and concerned as Sam appears behind her. One look at his face tells me he knows exactly what's just happened. Every aching muscle gives way, including my heart, and I collapse to the floor in a heap, sobbing uncontrollably. I'm vaguely aware of arms wrapped around me, rocking me back and forth. But they don't comfort me. They're not Jesse's. Bonus chapter for this man. Launch night at Luso. Jesse's POV.
What the fuck is this prick rambling on about? He must see I'm not interested, but it doesn't shut him up. There's no need to kiss my ass anymore because I've bought the fucking place. He's earned his commission. Leave me the fuck alone. I nod my head every now and then to the estate agent, even though I can't hear a word he's saying. All I'm hearing is an unconvincing sweet voice telling me she's not interested. I study her red-covered back closely. I should never have left her place last night. Not until she relented and admitted she's feeling something too. I know she feels it. I have a newfound determination after spending all day locked in my office achieving fuck all except mental torture. And now I'm standing in my new home, surrounded by snotty society, resisting the urge to set off the fire alarm to clear the place so I can have her alone. I smile to myself when I see Ava's red-headed friend look past her, her eyes widening when she clocks me. She remembers me, and just when I'm about to sack this irritating knob off, Ava turns and clocks me too. Her eyes do more than widen. They nearly fall out of her head. I don't have a chance to flash her my smile. She swings back around, clearly shocked by my presence. This only boosts my determination. She wouldn't act so stunned if she didn't care. Turning my eyes back onto the estate agent, I see his mouth moving, but nothing he's saying is filtering through. Yeah, thanks. I slap his upper arm, a completely inappropriate farewell, but I've got somewhere I need to be. I make my way over to her, lip-reading her friend's words. She's telling her I'm coming. Oh, yes, lady, I'm coming. I arrive by the two girls, Ava refusing to turn, her friend clearly amused, which means this beautiful girl has been talking about me. My already high confidence shoots through the roof. Nice to see you again, Kate, I say smoothly. Ava? She doesn't acknowledge me, and her friend's eyes are shooting between us in amusement. Jessie, Kate nods at me. Excuse me, I need to powder my nose. Placing her glass on the counter, she leaves us alone. I'm grateful. After a few seconds of waiting, I soon realize she isn't going to budge, the stubborn woman. So I slowly circle her until I'm confronted with her exquisite face. My cock instantly starts to throb. You look stunning, I say quietly, running my eyes over every perfect square inch of her features. I've tasted those lips. I don't know what I'll do if I don't get to taste them again. You said I wouldn't have to see you again. She's in instant defense mode. It doesn't bode well. I didn't know you would be here. I'm all defensive too, but I have no right to be. You sent me flowers. I fight to keep the smile from my face. So I did. Please excuse me. She goes to pass me and I panic, quickly moving to stop her. I was hoping for a tour, I blurt, laughing privately at my own audacity. I know this place inside out. I'll get Victoria. She'll be happy to show you around. I would prefer you. You don't get a fuck with a tour, she retorts harshly, making me recoil. She's standing in front of me, looking like she's just literally fallen from the heavens, and she's using vulgar language like that? Will you watch your mouth? I expect her to tell me where to go, but she doesn't. Sorry? She mutters. And put my seat back when you drive my car. Now I really can't help my smile, and I'm filled with immense satisfaction when she starts shifting uncomfortably. I bet she loved my little joke. And leave my music alone. I'm sorry, I whisper. Are you okay? You look a little shaky. I can't help it. I lift my arm, desperate to feel that smooth skin again. Is something affecting you? She pulls away.
Not at all.
She's lying. I can see her hand twitching by her side as she fights not to reach for her hair. That's her tell.
Did you want a tour?
My smile broadens further. I would love a tour. She virtually stomps out of the kitchen and starts waving her hand around.
Lounge.
I've seen the lounge. I've seen everything a million times. So I keep my eyes on the gentle sway of her hips as she leads me around my new home.
You've seen the kitchen,
she calls over her shoulder, giving me a little peek of her luscious lips.
View,
she points across London before trekking back into the penthouse and stalking across the open space toward the gym. People try to stop me as I pick up my pace to keep up with her, but I brush them off with a quick handshake or a polite nod of my head.
Jim,
she mutters as she enters, before leaving as soon as my grandsons cross the threshold. I laugh to myself as I follow her up the stairs. It takes every single piece of willpower not to grab her and haul her into a bedroom. Fuck me. I want to sink my teeth into a tight ass as it sashays up the stairs. After opening and closing every door on the first floor, and shortly spitting what rooms they are, she paces into the master suite. My bedroom. Oh, fuck. Does she realize she's just entered the lion's lair? This does not assist in cooling down my raging hard-on. You're an expert tour guide, Ava, I muse, as I land in front of quite a boring piece of art. But there's something about the shabby old rowing boats, something charming. Care to enlighten me on the photographer?
Giuseppe Cavalli.
It's good. Is there any particular reason why you chose this photographer? She's silent for a while, and I know it's because she's studying me. She likes what she sees, and she likes what she felt when I had her in my arms. I'm not going to let her deny it, so she'd better not even try and insult my intelligence with another rejection.
He was known as the Master of Light.
She's joined me in front of the piece, and I look down at her, almost encouragingly.
He didn't think that the subject was of any importance. It didn't matter what he photographed. To him, the subject was always the light. He concentrated on controlling it. See?
She lifts her hand and points out the reflections across the rippling water. I nod thoughtfully to myself, impressed and quite intrigued. But the woman standing next to me is what I'm more intrigued by. So I turn my stare back down to her as she continues.
These rowing boats, as lovely as they are just boats. But see how he manipulates the light. He didn't care for the boats. He cared for the light surrounding the boats. He makes inanimate objects interesting, makes you look at the photograph in a different, well, a different light, I suppose.
She cocks her head thoughtfully, lengthening the column of her neck, revealing perfect, smooth, taut skin. Jesus, the woman is like nothing I've ever seen. I let her finish her observations, quite happy to just watch her, but then she looks up at me, and I can see she's mentally battling the urge to fold on me.
Please don't,
she whispers. Don't what? I know damn well what.
You know what? You said I wouldn't have to see you again.
I lied. I can't stay away from you. So you do have to see me again. And again. And again. I say it slowly, making clear my intention, and she inhales as she starts stepping back away from me. I'm not letting her get away this time. You persistently fighting this is only making me more determined to prove that you want me. I keep my eyes on hers. I'm making it my mission objective. I'll do anything. I really will. The bed halts her retreat, and she throws her hands up.
Stop,
she blurts, and I do, but only because she's clearly upset. You don't even know me. She's desperately trying to convince herself that this is crazy. It is, and it scares me. But I can't walk away again. I know you're impossibly beautiful. I walk forward, thinking I can make her feel so much better if I can just hold her. I know what I feel, and I know you're feeling it too. I stop as the fronts of our bodies brush. I can feel her heartbeat through her dress and my suit. So tell me, Ava, what have I missed? She drops her face, but I waste no time pulling it back up to mine, feeling like a total bastard when I see tears in her eyes. I'm sorry. I slide my hand around to cup her cheek and gently wipe her tears away.
You said you would leave me alone.
She flicks me a questioning look. I lied. I'm sorry. I can't stay away, Ava.
You've already said that you're sorry. Yet here you are again. Am I to expect flowers tomorrow?
My strokes of her cheeks pause, and it's my face that hides now. I really am a bastard, but I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't know for certain that she wants me. Why is she being so stubborn? There's nothing left for it. I need to remind her. Remind her of how it felt. I lift my eyes and slowly start lowering my lips to hers. I need to be gentle. She doesn't stop me, and when our lips skim just a tiny bit, she's the one who takes the lead, grabbing my jacket and breathing heavily in my face. I'm shaking like a fucking leaf, relieved and pent up on days' worth of lust. Have you ever felt like this? I ask, pulling her closer and working my mouth across to her ear.
Never.
I sag in relief, and a nip at her lobe. Are you ready to stop fighting it now? I ask softly, licking my way up her ear and back down until I'm at the smooth flesh that meets her neck. She smells and tastes divine.
Oh, God,
she gasps, and I swallow her words of submittal by tenderly plunging my tongue into her mouth, silently grateful when she accepts it. Hmm, I hum, breaking our kiss reluctantly to get a solid confirmation from this beautiful woman. Is that a yes?
Yes.
A million sparks light up inside of me. Hope that I just don't understand bombarding my entire form. I nod and proceed to show my appreciation by scattering light kisses all over her face. I need to have all of you, Ava. Say I can have all of you. She hesitates, but only briefly.
Take me.
I don't waste any more time. I curl my arm around her tiny waist and lift her slight frame from her feet, carrying her to the wall and gently pushing her up against it as our lips become more frantic, more desperate now we're both on the same page. My hands are everywhere. I can't help it. I refuse to release her lips when she starts pushing my jacket away from my shoulders, stepping back just a fraction to help her. Nothing will stop this. When I'm free from my suit jacket, I thrust her back into the wall, a bit harder than I intended, but she doesn't seem bothered by my eagerness. She's meeting my franticness perfectly. Fucking hell, Ava. I breathe. You make me crazy. I circle my hips to try and alleviate the throb in my cock, pulling a quiet cry from her lips. Her hands are clenching at my hair, the feeling out of this world, and it prompts me to yank her dress up to her waist and roll into her once more. Nipping at her bottom lip, I pull away, breathing uncontrolled bursts of air in her face as I deliver another grind of my groin, delighting in her moans of pleasure. She breaks our eye contact and lets her head fall back, the temptation of her exposed throat way too much to resist.
I'm lost. Jessie.
I'm only mildly aware of her panting my name, as I bite my way across her skin.
Jessie, people are coming. You have to stop.
She starts squirming in my embrace, rubbing up against my solidness. Fuck. I'm not letting you go. Not now. I groan the words out, silently begging her not to stop this.
We need to stop.
No. I sound demanding, but I can't help it. Fuck. I know there are people wandering around, and I fucking hate them for it.
We'll do this later.
That leaves you too much time to change your mind. I carry on biting at her neck, unwilling to release her from my grasp, for fear of never getting my hands on her again. But then my jaw is grabbed, and she pulls me from my happy nuzzling.
I won't change my mind.
Our noses are touching.
I will not change my mind.
She means it. I can see it in her determined eyes, but I'm not risking it. I push my lips hard on hers and tell her so. Sorry, I can't risk it. I pick her up and carry her to the bathroom.
What? They'll want to see in there too.
I'll lock the door. No screaming. I grin down at her. She remembers my crassness, and I'm glad she's smiling about it. The delivery of such a tactless line to such an exquisite woman should have earned me a slap.
You have no shame.
Her grin, followed by a cheeky laugh, makes my cock nearly explode. So I tell her that too. No, my cock has been aching since last Friday. I finally have you in my arms, and you've seen sense. I'm going nowhere, and neither are you. I kick the lovely wooden door of my lovely new bathroom shut, and place her gently down between the double sink unit before hastily returning to lock the door. Nothing is interrupting this. When I turn to face her, she's looking at me, her dreamy chocolate eyes shimmering with lust. Fucking hell, this woman can't be real. Reaching up to my shirt, I slowly start unbuttoning it as I walk slowly over to her. I'm not rushing, because I can see clearly that she's completely given in. This is happening. I leave my shirt hanging open and hold my breath as I watch when she places her finger in the center of my chest, dragging it lightly down the middle. My hands instinctively find her waist, and my body moves between her thighs. I glance up and find her watching me closely, and my lips twitch in happiness. For the first time in forever, I feel happy. You can't escape now.
I don't want to.
Good, I mouth, dropping my gaze to her lips as she continues with her drifting finger back up my chest, my throat, until it rests lightly on my bottom lip. I bite down, my happiness intensifying tenfold when she smiles at me and works her hand into my hair. I like your dress, I say, skating my eyes down the gathered material at her waist until I'm focused on her lovely thighs.
Thank you.
It's a bit restrictive. I pull at a piece of the red material playfully, smiling to myself when I sense her breathing quicken.
It is.
Shall we remove it? I tilt my head thoughtfully as she smiles.
If you like.
Or maybe we leave it on? I pull away and hold my hands up, a stupid thing to do. I already miss the feel of her, so I immediately run my palms around her back to find the zip. But then again, I whisper in her ear, I have first-hand knowledge of what's under this lovely dress. And it's fucking incredible, I think to myself as I breathe in her ear and slowly draw down the fastening. I don't know why I'm thinking it. I should tell her, so I do. And it's far superior to the dress. I think we'll get rid of it. She needs to know that I'm seriously pussy-whipped. I pick her up and set her on her feet, pushing the lovely dress away, revealing a sight that has been carved on my mind since Tuesday. I kick the redundant dress to the side and absorb her for a few moments before I lift her back onto the counter, the feel of her in my arms as satisfying as looking at her. I want to carry her everywhere, have her glued to me. "I like that dress," she argues. "I'll buy you a new one." I brush off her concern. I know she doesn't really give a damn about the dress. I take up my position between her legs and take hold of her petite bum, tugging her closer and rolling my hips while we study each other. My cock isn't going to hold out much longer, but I'm enjoying savoring her at this moment. Feeling around her back, I unclasp and remove her bra, sighing when my eyes are blessed again by her pert, perfectly formed breasts. And then the little temptress only leans back on her hands, accentuating the subtle push of her chest toward me. I raise my eyes to hers and lift my hand, covering her entire throat with my big palm. "I can feel your heart hammering," I sound enthralled. I am enthralled. She completely captivates me. Slowly I glide my hand down her front until it's resting softly on her flat tummy. I find her eyes again just to check she's real, even though I can feel her perfectly. "You're too fucking beautiful, lady," I say firmly. "I think I'll keep you." When she bows her back, I smile and then let my mouth drop to her nipple, taking her other breast in my spare palm, massaging gently as I suck her into my mouth. She's moaning, her body turned lax, and my aching cock rubs delicious circles into her. I'm fighting to keep control, but I want to worship her first, make the most of this time. She's unpredictable, with her constant fighting and relenting. It worries me. She's getting a little frenzied, her breathing erratic and rushed, so I find my way to her knickers and slip my finger into the side, resisting the temptation to rip them off now. Fuck, she feels perfect everywhere. "Shit," she yelps, her body flying up and clenching my shoulders. I don't back down. "Language, lady," I warn, taking her mouth and thrusting my fingers deeply into her, gasping at the rightness of her internal heated muscles, grabbing onto me. She's moaning relentlessly, pushing her body into mine and greedily contracting around me. I can sense her desperation. I know her already, a stupid thought, given my limited time with her, but the perfection of this convinces me that I need to lengthen this time, make it forever. "Come," I demand, pushing deeper and higher, pressing my thumb onto her pulsing clitoris, my heart hammering wildly as I watch her disintegrate into a mass of twitching nerves. When she yells, I quickly tackle her mouth, soaking up her pleasure-filled moans as she shakes in my arms. Her eyes are closed, while I devote my time to easing her down, kissing her face everywhere until she finally opens her eyes and gazes at me on a little sigh. "Fuck me." I lean in and kiss her again, her whole form like a magnet to me. I can't get enough of her. "Better?" I slip my fingers out and smile when she hums, running my damp finger across her full bottom lip as we watch each other. And when her palms lift and smooth down my cheeks, I'm powerless to stop myself from turning into one, kissing it lovingly before letting my eyes find her again. Her shocked gasp throws me for a moment until I realize someone is trying to get into my bathroom. I slap my palm over her mouth and smile at her shock. "I can't hear anything," someone says. Ava's eyes widen further, so I release her mouth and replace my palm with my lips, hushing her quietly. Oh God, I feel cheap, she cries, her head falling to my shoulder. Cheap? She's the farthest thing you could get from cheap. You're not cheap. Talk crap like that, I'll be forced to kick your delicious backside all over my bathroom. I immediately realize my error. Fuck, did I really just say that? Her confused face tells me I did. I don't know why I'm concerned. She already knows that I own the manor, even if she thinks it's a fucking hotel. Whatever made her think that? And how the hell will I tell her what really goes down there? I don't want to tarnish this with my dirty history.
Your bathroom?
Her question distracts me from my dilemma, her puzzled face making me smile. Yes, my bathroom. I wish they would stop strangers roaming around my home.
You live here?
Well, I will as of tomorrow. Tell me, is all this Italian shit worth the outrageously expensive price tag they attach to this place? I didn't mean to say that at all. I love the Italian shit she's loaded it with.
Italian shit?
She coughs, and I can't help laughing at her shock. You shouldn't have bought the place if you don't like the shit that's in it. I can get rid of the shit. I'm winding her up now, her irritation actually turning me on, even more. Her eyebrows lift in shock, but soon lower into a scowl. Unravel your knickers, lady. I wouldn't get rid of anything in this apartment. I land her with a forceful kiss. And you're in this apartment. She's mine again. She's meeting my hard tongue, lashes stroke for stroke, her hand shooting to my shoulders and clinging on harshly. That's it. I can't wait any longer. I need to have the ultimate with this woman. I've never wanted anything so much in my life. Lifting her from the counter, I yank her knickers down her legs, my gentle approach fast disappearing. I cast them aside and ease her back down, making quick work of removing her shoes and mentally thanking her for taking the initiative to start on my clothes. Her awestruck face doesn't escape my notice, and neither does her recoil when she spots my scar. I don't need her prying into the whys and wherefores of that. But before I can distract her from it, she screws my shirt up and tosses it to the side.
I'll buy you a new one,
she says casually, making me smirk. Leaning forward, I home in on her lips again and moan when I feel her hands working my trousers, but soon pull away on a surprised furrow of my brow when she yanks my belt free and the bathroom is filled with a sharp thrash of leather. I'm trying to hide my shock. Are you going to whip me?
No,
she replies slowly, before discarding the belt, her uncertainty reassuring. But then I'm seized by the waistband of my trousers and hauled forward.
Of course, if you want me to.
I fight a smile onto my face. She's playing with me. I'll bear that in mind. Her eyes burn through mine as she unfastens me, and my eyes clench shut when I feel her small palm skim across my throbbing cock. Oh, sweet Jesus, I'm twitching uncontrollably, sending a silent prayer to the ceiling to maintain my control, struggling further when I feel the unmistakable heat of her tongue licking up the center of my chest. Ava, you should know that once I've had you, you're mine. I don't know where the fuck that statement came from. She hums, licking my nipple and pushing my boxers down my thighs, finally freeing my painfully stiff cock. She gasps, and I smile. Oh yes, lady, and it's soon going to be claiming you all to itself, forever. I waste no time removing my remaining clothes, as equally wrapped by the nakedness before me as she is. I didn't think my pulse could race any faster until she reaches forward and rolls her thumb over the head of my arousal. Shit, Ava. I take her hips and she gasps. Ticklish? Just there, she blurts, tensing in my hold. I'll remember that. I smash my lips back to hers, my body tingling, my hips thrusting when she starts stroking me. It's becoming urgent, and when she inhales sharply, I clamp down on her lip. You ready? I blurt, wondering what I'll do if she says no. But her quick nod fires me into action, and I bat her hand away from me, grab her under her arse, and pull her up and forward, straight onto my waiting cock. She cries out. Shit, I've hurt her. But damn, she feels incredible, like nothing that's come before. Okay, I wheeze. Are you okay? 2 seconds. I need a few seconds. Her legs wrap around my waist, and I swing her around, pushing her up against the wall and letting my forehead drop to hers as I give her the time she needs to adjust. Fucking hell, I'm sweating, panting like a dog as I ease out of her gently, desperate not to put her off. Then I plunge forward, controlled and carefully. Can you take more? I fight the words through my regulated breathing, hoping to God she accepts me. Her breasts push into my chest, a silent message, but I need the words. Ava, tell me you're ready. I'm ready, she breathes, and with that, I rear back and drive forward purposefully, and I don't stop. I'm growling in appreciation as I pump into her time and time again. You're mine now, Ava. There I go again. What the hell has gotten into me? She doesn't object, filling me with contentment. Something that I've never felt. All mine, I reinforce, meeting her forehead with my own and retreating before I really let rip, pounding forward repeatedly like a crazy man, desperate and sweating. She screams. It's music to my ears. I'm claiming her, and she's letting me. I relish in her repeated cries of pleasure, feeling her muscles tightening around me as I take her mouth again, our sweaty bodies slipping and sliding, feeling amazing. You're going to come? I can feel it. She's pulsing and squirming. Yes, she bites me. Fucking hell. Wait for me. I order, more harshly than I intended, increasing my pace. She screams. Shit, she's going. And so am I. Now, Ava. I push into her, holding myself there, heaving into her neck. My fucking legs feel unstable. I'm a wreck. Oh, fuck, I groan, releasing into her, as I lazily circle my hips, wheedling every lazy modicum of pleasure as she moans into my shoulder. We're doing this again very soon. Shit, I'm dizzy. Look at me, I demand gently. I need to check she's real. And when her heavy head lifts and her face finds mine, I look straight into those eyes and accept something really special has happened here. And I don't know whether to be delighted by it or frightened to fucking death. Softly circling my hips, I kiss her. Beautiful. I push her back into the warmth of my chest and transport her back to the counter, resting her down gently and reluctantly slipping out of her. I take her face between my palms and kiss her. I didn't hurt you, did I? She answers by pulling me into her arms and squeezing me tightly, my face naturally finding its place in the crook of her neck and my palms feeling her back. I feel an overwhelming sense of belonging, like after years of stumbling randomly, doing things without thought or consideration, I finally found where I need to be. But will she accept me? I'm not getting off to the best start. I didn't use a fucking condom. Pulling back, I stroke her heated face with my knuckles. I didn't use a condom. I feel like a complete tosser. I'm sorry I got carried away. You're on birth control, right?
Yes. But the pill doesn't protect me from STDs.
I smile, not in the least bit insulted. I have no right to be.
Ava, I've always used a condom. I peck her forehead.
Except with you.
Why?
She asks, puzzled. I don't blame her. I'm quite befuddled by it all myself. I don't think straight when I'm near you. I start dressing myself, wondering why that is. She knocks all rationality right out of me, has me thinking stupid thoughts and behaving like a total nutjob. Taking one of the fancy face cloths from the shelf by the sink, I run it under the tap, hating the idea of wiping myself away from her. When I turn, I find her legs are closed tightly. She's feeling awkward, and on a small frown, I separate them again. I never want her to feel uncomfortable with me, which is a ridiculous claim given my recent behavior around this woman. She's still here, though. Better, I mutter, placing her palms on my shoulders while I reluctantly sweep the cloth across her skin, cleaning her up and flicking a little glance up. I know she's watching me. I want to toss you in that shower and worship every inch of you, but this will have to do, for now anyway. I give her a quick kiss, resenting having to dress her. Come on, lady, let's get you dressed. I love that she lets me do it all, and I love the fact that she tenses and spasms when I can't resist another taste of her neck. She'd better get used to my lips all over her, because I don't plan on putting them anywhere else ever again. My shirt is handed to me, and I shake out the creases as best I can. There really wasn't any need to screw it up, was there? I grin as I dress myself and she watches closely.
Your jacket will cover.
She stops, her eyes widening.
Oh.
Yes, oh. I snap my belt and grin further when she flinches, only because she seems alarmed by it. Okay, you ready to face the music, lady? I signal for her hand, and she wastes no time giving it to me. Smart girl. I'd say quite loud, wouldn't you? I break out in a full-on blast-her-back smile as she shakes her head. I can't believe I said that to her either. Her face displays an abundance of alarm when she catches herself in the mirror. I don't know why. She looks just flawless. You're perfect. I unlock the bathroom and pull her out, scooping up my jacket as we pass. As we take the stairs, I don't like the tensing I sense, traveling from her into me through our joined hands. Not one little bit, even less when I feel her physically trying to remove her hand from mine. Instinct tells me to keep hold of her, so I do.
Jessie, let go of my hand.
No, I fire unreasonably and shortly. I can't help it. I stop when she does, and turn to look up at her. She's nervous, her earlier blissed-out state long gone.
Jessie, you can't expect me to parade through here holding your hand. That's not fair. Please, let me go.
I gaze down at our hands, seeing the evidence of the firmness of my grip by the bulging veins in my hand. I'm not hurting her. I'd never hurt her. But I have a solid grip and I don't plan on letting go.
I'm not letting you go, I whisper. If I let you go, you might forget how it feels. You might change your mind.
It sounds unreasonable, but that's how it is.
Change my mind about what?
She sounds confused, confirming my fears. Me. I'm shocked when my arm jerks and she's suddenly free. How the fuck did she manage that? Nothing can prevent my annoyance from making its way onto my face. I know I'm looking at her fiercely, and her darting off down the stairs only confirms it. I watch in a mixture of horror and agony as she escapes me, running into the arms of some girly twat at the bottom of the stairs. Who the fuck is that? I'm only mildly uncomfortable with the rage flying through me as I steam down the stairs, watching another man dribble all over her, but as I get closer, I relax. A little. He's gay. Fucking hell. He couldn't be more obvious if he put on a pair of fishnet stockings and some fake lashes. He's still a bloke, though, and he's still got his hands all over my Ava. My Ava? Fuck me, Ward. You're in trouble.
Acknowledgements. When I first self-published This Man, I had just a few people to thank, namely my family and the few friends who I eventually told about what I'd been up to. My appreciation is still huge and always will be, but my list of people to thank has extended considerably since October 2012. The first person on that list is my attorney, Matthew Savar. Matt, I'd have been lost in New York without you, quite literally. You were the first one on board and have enjoyed this crazy ride with me. You also kept me sane when I thought I might lose my mind. I'll never be able to thank you enough, but I'll always try. My agents, Andrea Barsvi and Kristin Keane of ICM Partners, who just get me, knickers and all. When I arrived at your office for the first time, you hugged me, and that was just what I needed amid the madness. The hugs, followed by the passion with which you spoke about me and this man, sealed the deal for me. I've never looked back. Beth de Guzman of Grand Central Publishing, you took a chance on an unknown author and her debut novel. My gratitude is immeasurable. And Selena, my editor, I'll always say, bloody hell, and I'll smile every time I hear you say it too. I had a story to tell, and I'm so glad I told it. This little British girl is on Central Jesse Cloud 9. Join me. This has been a Hachette Audio production of This Man, written by Jodie Ellen Malpas, read by Adita Brichter, produced and directed by Dennis Keo, audio editing by Jennifer Nix and Fred Koch, mixing and mastering by John Kovarik, production supervised by Elise Green. This Man is also available in print and digital formats from Forever, a division of Hachette Book Group. Text copyright 2013 by Jodie Ellen Malpas. Audio production copyright 2013, Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. In accordance with the US Copyright Act of 1976, the duplicating, uploading, and electronic sharing of any part of this audiobook without the permission of the publisher is unlawful piracy and theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, prior written permission must be obtained by contacting the publisher at permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights. This audiobook is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, events or locales, is entirely coincidental.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.